For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie is here. It is our last episode, our last race preview episode of the season. Yeah, this is not our last episode ever, unfortunately, for those who call me unprofessional. Actually, some people said some really mean things to me online when I didn't go to Portland, so that was fun. It was fun too. I didn't even tell you. We'll talk about it offline. I don't need to air dirty laundry during the episode. But we will review Portland. Not much happened. We will talk a little bit about Laguna. We will save most of the news and whatnot for the coming weeks of the off season because things will get very quiet in the IndyCar camp once silly season kind of dies down, and you know there's not too much of silly season left at this point. Anyway, this instead of doing a non-racing question, thought we'd take a interesting way to look back on the 2022 season. If you were to describe, now obviously this could all change with some sort of crazy finale. Looks like Will Power is probably going to win the championship unless something crazy happens and he gets knocked out or whatever, but. And throughout the race on Sunday, I will live tweet as best to my abilities at the track where people are points-wise as things run. But if you were to describe the 2022 IndyCar season in one word, how would you describe it?
I think I would describe it as the word that comes to mind for some reason that I can't shake is breakout. Yeah, I just feel like this was a lot of people's breakout year. You know, like there are people who had wins in the past and who showed some signs, right, of success, but that just really broke out this year. Like I think Marcus Ericsson, at least for the beginning half of the year, even though he won more races last year, showed his like championship caliber driver status this season. I mean, you cannot argue that Scott McLaughlin has had a breakout year. I think David Malukas and Christian Lundgaard have both had breakout years. So that's right. Just kind of what I was thinking.
I will go with dramatic, whether it be on the track, dramatics, good or bad. You know, we've seen Andretti blow up on each other in the bad end of things. We've seen a great Indy 500 kind of come down to the wire, and other races have some pretty bold moves there, like Pato going in on Will Power this weekend in Portland. So, and Alex Palou and all his legal proceedings have definitely provided plenty of drama this year. So I will go with dramatic. Anyway, it's time to talk about Portland briefly. First, we didn't really talk too much about Portland last week because we both said, turn one will be a cluster F. Everything crazy will happen. And then there was not one cluster F in turn one the entire race. So hats off to IndyCar for allowing them to accelerate early, kind of coming out of turn 12 versus later in the straightaway. I think that did make a huge difference, even if it did make the first 80.
Yeah, it was kind of one. Yeah. Pato, I think, right? They had contact, like, I mean, by standards of that turn, it was nothing.
So for the first 83 laps of the race, pretty quiet. Not much happened at all. Scott McLaughlin put on a, you're going to hear me use this word a lot in the next 2 days, masterclass, and did very well. I was surprised. The one thing, I guess we can start here, because, you know, again, not too much to talk about from Portland. Pato O'Ward, you know, who is now out of the championship hunt. I think it's down to McLaughlin on up are remaining in the championship hunt. You have to be within 54 to...
Yeah, so it's five.
...be mathematically eligible. They said, we are going to do what the opposite... We are not going to mirror Penske. We are going to try to take chances and do something different, blah, blah, blah. I don't feel like the strategy was any different than any of the top leaders, other than Pato making that dive attempt on Will Power, which I would have done 10 times out of 10 if I was Pato. Don't blame him at all, even though it cost him a couple spots in the end. You got to go for it, because if he didn't win, he wasn't making, you know, he wasn't going to be eligible for the championship points wise anyway. So it made no difference. So I'm a little disappointed. I don't know if you have any feelings on this, but McLaren strategy kind of, I don't want to say necessarily drop the ball, but they didn't do anything to help Pato. And I don't know what you could have done with 84 laps of green flag running, but maybe they're just hamstrung by that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody was catching Scott McLaughlin, but I don't know. Pato seemed to have speed, but I guess how can you really change up the strategy when everyone's just kind of fuel saving going that far into
my
the race?
My only thought, and this might not have worked at Portland because there's not a ton of passing opportunities, but I always go back to Sonoma the year Newgarden won his first championship, when Pagenaud did a four stop instead of a three stop and just drove balls to the wall the entire race. And won the race. Obviously didn't win the championship, but yeah, put on a hell of a race. You know, why not just try something a little bit different? If you know, okay, you get through lap one, nothing happens, you settle in, you go, okay, maybe I should pit early and just run full out on the engine all day, see what happens. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it works, and by the time that pit that yellow flag comes out, great. Then we look like geniuses. But it can't hurt to try.
No, I like that, especially for a driver like Pato, because I mean, he's the type of guy who could just go out there and do quali laps over and over again, and just basically have the speed. So I like that. I mean, maybe you should start calling his strategy. Maybe.
What do you think, Pato? I don't think anybody actually wants me calling their strategy. Anyway, let's move on from that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. You know, the last stint there was pretty exciting. But all in all, this might be one of the more duller races of the IndyCar season.
Sadly, I'm going to have to agree with you. It was a pretty disappointing Sunday for me, because you had Zandvoort, where Max just kind of dominated. And then, you know, later in the day, we have Portland, where Scott McLaughlin looked untouchable. So, like I think I said in the F1 episode, it's impressive to watch someone dominate and put on that kind of a performance, but it's not the most exciting thing to watch.
Just as a reminder, the top five were McLaughlin, Power, Dixon, who vaults himself pretty close to the championship lead. He had a Dixon drive, 16th.
He had a Dixon drive for
Pato finished fourth. Graham Rahal finished fifth,
so
which
quiet.
Was very good to see Graham. I kept thinking it was Jack Harvey in the red Hy-Vee car half the day. But
yeah,
let's see here. Other stand. Lungard looked good until
Lungard
he got
looked
stuck
good
in
for
the
a while
sign.
Too, but I
that
think,
brings
I mean, that late
co-host
issue.
David Malukas within five points of the rookie of the year lead. I'm curious. I don't know the answer. I will find out this weekend. Yeah. So let's just say for somehow they end up tied. What's the tiebreaker for Rookie of the Year, or do they both just get co-Rookie of the Year? And I know this is purely the competitive side of wanting to see David get Rookie of the Year as, you know, kind of vindication for the Indy 500 Rookie of the Year snafu earlier this year. So I'm just curious. I don't know if the... Yeah, snub. Thank you, snafu.
Snub.
Callum Ilott with his best finish in a bunch of races, finishing ninth. Also, shout out to Kyle Kirkwood, his best finish since Long Beach.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
Not good. But good.
Yes. Do you want to talk about the... do we even know anything about the...
No, we can't. There, there's...
Leader circle? Listen,
lots of people have asked. Thank you to Cody Bray for asking again this weekend. The leader circle, you know, where everybody gets their prize money at the end of the year. IndyCar does not confirm how many entries are available in the leader circle. Other than that, okay. Ganassi That's has three in the leader circle, not four. So Jimmy is not eligible anyway. So I think that keeps... But
what about Rahal? They have two?
Rahal might... who knows? It's hard to get confirmation on that one. And I tried last year and didn't feel like I don't think they wanted to give an answer. And so, yeah, it is what it is. And we'll just wait for some sort of confirmation when the off season comes across here. The only thing I did want to talk about is Jimmie Johnson and Rinus VK. A lot of times this year we've given Jimmie Johnson grief. I think they said it on the broadcast. I think Hinch said it when Jimmy spun at one point and then didn't hit anything and kept going. They didn't even go yellow. Jimmy is the king of spinning without hitting anything, which in and of itself is pretty impressive because not many guys spin and don't hit anything with as frequency as Jimmie Johnson does. I'm so sorry to say that. Anyway, so Rinus VK, from my point of view, goes, you know, makes a pass on the inside. He has no need to go back to the left to make turn one and turn two. He just can take the inside, ride the curb like most of the guys did. But he decided, you know what? I'm kind of bored. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to swing wide here and smash Jimmy into the wall. And I just, you know, he got a drive-through penalty and effectively ruined his day. He finished 16th, 19th. Where did he finish? 20th. So he ruined what was a top 10 day for him. He was I think he was 8 or 9th at the time of the incident. That brought out our only caution. Lapping Jimmy, yes.
He was lapping Jimmy, right?
Listen, neither of us can say what was going through Jimmy's head, Rinus's head. What are your thoughts?
I think I was talking to you at that point that I was saying, like, we need a yellow flag. And so I was like, well, you know what? It's going to be somebody who tends to cause yellow flags. And so when I saw a yellow flag involving Jimmy, I was like, oh, okay, he did it again. Like, he just crashed or something on a road course. And I felt guilty immediately because after we saw the replay, that was 100% on Rinus. That was just like kind of a brain fade moment where it was just like he either didn't look to see, like, maybe he thought he cleared him and he just didn't look, or I'm not sure what happened. And he apologized, but yeah, that was just a boneheaded move for sure.
Yeah, not good. Yeah, I did enjoy.
Jimmy was mad. Interesting to hear.
But man, Rinus, just what were you doing?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
Yeah, Jimmy was just quietly minding his own business, and then he just gets completely slammed into the wall.
Yeah.
So
that Carvana livery was pretty slick this weekend, this past weekend.
It was. I liked the green accents on it.
Do we have anything else? Oh, predictions.
I'm trying to. Yeah, we do have predictions, which I lost again. Used to be you, I feel like, that would just lose and kind of jinx everyone, but I think that curse has been lifted. So I had Colton, who finished 6th, Devlin, who finished 16th, and Marcus Ericsson, who... He's still in the championship, but I just don't see it at this point.
We'll do that before
we can talk about that, maybe. He finished 11th, so my average finish was 11th. And then you had Willpower, who finished 2nd. Rossi, who finished 7th, and then Takuma, who finished 18th. I don't really know why he was
either.
That far down. So your average finish was 9th.
So before we get to Laguna, championship eligible drivers, obviously Power leads with 523. Newgarden and Dixon both have 503. Ericsson has 484, and McLaughlin has 482. I feel like Ericsson and McLaughlin, you need... Wow. The top three guys to finish 22nd on back or 20th on back, essentially, to have any chance of even winning. You have to have them finish at the bottom and you have to win. Or at least podium, but I would say most likely win. So what are your thoughts? Can Newgarden and Dixon, who are only 20 points back, do they stand a chance? Is it, you know, they have to take a big gamble here. If you are Mike Hull or Tim Cindric, who are coincidentally are on an IndyCar media call tomorrow afternoon together. If you are them, what is your mindset for your driver going into this weekend?
I'd be sweating because Will Power has been the definition of consistency this season. And if he has a consistent finish, like I'm sure if he finishes in the top five or so, he wins the championship probably regardless of what they do.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And I think.
And he's been out of the top five. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4 times this season. That's it.
Wow. Really? And it's been a while since that's...
Oh, sorry, no. There's another one. So I guess it's 5 times. But that was a 6th place finish. Like, the other ones were further down, but that was just the 6th. So, like, the number of podiums he has and top 5s is
amazing. And remember earlier this year, he couldn't qualify to save his life for, like, a month?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got 3 poles now. No, 4. Right?
Does he...
Yeah, 4 poles.
I can't remember. Does he have the record now, or is he tied with Mario? Okay.
He has.
I don't know why. I just can't remember that right now. So, and Rookie of the Year, only 5-point difference. That's a total toss-up. Lundgaard has not raced at Laguna. David Malukas has in Indy Lights. And so I wasn't necessarily HMD's strongest track last year in Indy Lights, but obviously things have changed. I mean, Grosjean did podium last year in the Dale Coyne with Rick Ware racing car. So, you know, maybe they have some information that could help David this weekend. Who knows? Either way, it'll be exciting to see a new Rookie of the Year crown. I'm almost more interested in that than the actual championship right now, if I'm being totally honest with you.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of on the same page, and not just because of like
yeah,
our co-host being part of that battle. But because the drivers at the front, really, except for Marcus, who I think is like kind of new coming on the scene, are almost exactly who you right. would have predicted. Usually I like there to be at least one guy who's kind of, I don't want to say an outside, but like somebody who's not, yeah, exactly. Like somebody who you didn't expect, but I think we could have easily said like, oh, it'll be the three Penske's and Scott Dixon. Like you could have bet on that at the beginning of the season. And yeah. you would have been right. Penske's destroyed this season. Like I think
nine or ten, yeah,
out of 15 races,
something like that.
16.
They've been very good, yeah. And this is, I mean, I will say it is really cool to see how consistent Will Power has been all year. He's been very level headed when things haven't necessarily gone his way, which is also cool to see. We haven't seen any weird ice bath incidents post race for press conferences, which is, I explained that at where was I? At my girlfriend's family cookout, where I was like literally meeting all of these family people, and we were talking about racing, and I'm like, do you want to hear the weirdest Will Power story ever? I once did a press conference while he was in an ice bath, and that is something I will literally probably never forget, even if I don't ever do another episode of this show. I will never forget Will Power in an ice bath.
Hey, I think if he wins a second championship, he's allowed to do some weird stuff to celebrate. I also think one thing I have observed is when Scott McLaughlin gets out front starts out front,
yep.
he is basically untouchable. Yeah, which definitely I think comes from his days in supercars where he just qualified on pole and dominated. He's so used to doing that if he's on pole, man, or like he just gets into the lead quickly, yep. you better watch yep. out because you're not touching.
I agree there. All right, real quick, let's talk. Yeah, Java House. I'm going to have lots of Java House in the next couple of days to get ready for flying out to Laguna, flying back, and then flying on vacation the weekend after that. So Java House, three locations in Indy, one in Carmel, one in Broad Ripple, one in downtown. So go check them out. They've got plenty of stuff, some food, tea, tons of cold brew, probably the best cold brew I've ever had, and I drink a lot of coffee. Go to javahouse.com. If you're not an Indy, use promo code PITLANE10 and get 10% off of all your orders. Thank you very much to everybody who continues to support them. They are all some of the nicest people I have met since I started the show and kind of, you know, in the advertising side of things. So they're really good people. I think I said this in the other episode, we'll probably do some sort of recording from there at some point in the off season when I'm not in and out of airports like I will be for the next, God, 2 weeks, essentially.
You know what's cool? I think it's cool that like the product that we're advertising is not just something that we're basically
yes.
fake about. It's actually something that you really enjoy. I kind of hate it when people on other podcasts, and I'm not like calling anyone out, but like, it's very clear yep. that they don't yep. use the product or have never used like the service that they're advertising. So yeah, it's kind of nice that you can actually speak from experience about Java House.
So I was really sad this morning. It's Tuesday for those who are listening on Thursday. It's like, well, I have to go get my windshield replaced on my car. You know, I finally had my appointment after 3 weeks ago when it cracked on my way to Gateway.
Did it keep getting bigger?
A little bit. It kind of like ended up below like the rear view mirror, not like all the way up there, but like kind of out that far. So I mean, I went to go to Java House this morning before I went there, and downtown Broad Ripple, like, all the roads are closed because of construction, and I just didn't have the patience to figure out a new route, and I got turned away and had to go to Starbucks, and I was very sad this morning. Yeah.
Whoa.
So, I sold out.
I take back what I just said about like having a good relationship with our sponsor and like actually using the product, because then you just went to Starbucks, man. Come on, you just killed my whole.
I mean, I had a Java House K cup this afternoon.
Okay, well that's good.
Yeah.
Maybe you redeemed yourself then. We'll have to talk to them about it.
I'll get confirmation in the morning when I meet with them. Anyway, Laguna Seca.
You better confess your sins to them.
2.2 mile track. It has one of the coolest sections in racing in the corkscrew, which last year, you know.
Oh, really? What's that?
We saw.
Have you ever seen this thing called the pass?
No.
I think it happened in the 90s, but I'm not sure.
And how many times this weekend are you going to see Grosjean on Jimmy Johnson called the pass 2.0? If they don't call it that, they're missing a great marketing opportunity.
Yeah, they're going to show both of those a lot.
Yes.
I think Brian Herta he's probably done talking about that, and he probably was done the year after it happened.
He's probably done the day after it happened. Or that day.
Yeah. I'm sure Jimmy's also done with basically getting booted out of the way by Roma.
Yeah.
And having to talk about that and rewatch it. So
I think Colton Herta has won both races here, if I'm not mistaken, since they've come back to IndyCar.
Yeah.
Since IndyCar has gone back to Laguna. So let's start with this. Is somebody other than Colton Herta going to win this weekend?
You know what? I'm not sure. I think yes. Because I don't think the Andretti's have been as strong this year as they have been in the past. I mean, they've looked, pretty inconsistent. But I don't think they've just shown that outright speed that they tended to have in years past where Colton would just go on a tear.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm saying I hope it's not Colton is because I am out of Colton Herta picks in that one IndyCar fantasy league, so I could not pick him this weekend. Even if I wanted to.
Oh, I'm out of McLaughlin picks now.
So. I'm out of four people. I think I finished Dixon, Pato, Herta, and maybe Newgarden. All I ran out before this weekend. Anyway, so, we see Laguna. Laguna, when IndyCar came back to Laguna, I remember Rob Miller saying it's going to be boring. And both races have been pretty good. So I think we're in for a pretty good finale.
It's such low grip.
Yeah.
Because they're going to repave after this year.
Yeah. Which
it eats tires.
Yeah. So the strategy, you could see, McLaughlin, Ericsson kind of go way off strategy and just, pull a Pagano from a couple years ago, like I was talking about earlier, which would be cool. I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to be there. We'll also likely see Linus Lundqvist crowned Indy Lights Championship. There's not too many opportunities, too many open spots for him for next year already. We'll save that for the off-season discussion, but is there anything else before we make predictions Laguna-wise? The weather, it's like 380 degrees in California this week. The weather this weekend looks beautiful in Laguna, or Monterey, I should say. There's a chance of rain because of some hurricane or something off the California coast. On Sunday, I don't want it to rain because that track is so low grip. And like you said, eats up tires. I think it will produce enough of a good race as it is. I'm really excited for the race. I'm a little sad for the season to end, but I'm also excited for the season to end because I get to fly back east and see my family for a few days. And I haven't taken like a vacation that's not for race cars in since before we started the show. So it's been a long time since I've gone anywhere for just fun. So
I will be watching this weekend from the beach with my family. Yeah. So hopefully I can get some relatives to watch with me.
Yeah.
But it's always hard to do.
You need to bring a laptop on the beach and you use your hotspot on your phone and get free beer if you watch 10 laps of the race with me.
Okay. That's probably a good idea, actually.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Like a bribe. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you. All right. So predictions. We will do two inside of the top 10. I have one new rule after two inside the top. We'll go to two inside the top 12, one outside the top 12, but you can only pick one championship contender.
Okay.
I'll let you go first since you lost again.
How gracious of you. Let's see. I think. Well, I think Pato is going to do well this weekend. It's unfortunate that he's out of the championship, but you know what? I think he's going to do well.
All right. I am going to take Scott Dixon.
Okay. My second pick will be I think Will Power then.
Okay. I will take Alex Rossi and his maiden Andretti and Honda race.
No, not maiden, final.
Fine. Oh, sorry. It's very late at night.
Yeah.
Continue.
No, I know what you meant. Yeah. My outside the top 12 pick. It's gonna have to be. Wow. I don't know.
Yeah, these are not looking inviting right now.
Yeah. I'll try Callum Ilott. I think.
Damn it.
He might do well.
I had literally just taken down the standings off my phone because I was like, I'm taking Ilott. I will take. You know what? Since he did well there last year, I'll take Grosjean.
Okay. That was my other possible pick, yeah. But I didn't really want to pick him.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Drama. Anyway, well, that's it. We'll be back next week to recap this. Thank you, everybody, for following along all season long. Don't worry. We're not going anywhere in the off season. Almost every week we might take a week.
Oh, we're gonna keep annoying
you. We're gonna keep annoying you with my unprofessionalism, and I don't know where else to go with that one. Everybody,
let's keep this momentum going.
Yeah, you know, it's really beneficial to keep everything going all off season long. That being said, everybody have a lovely IndyCar finale weekend of racing.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.